Ready?
I am.
Stop chewing.
Triscuits are delicious.
Not for chewing.
Triscuits are for sex and for sowing the fields, not for chewing.
Let's get this show on the road.
Okay.
Our adoring public demands us.
They are adoring and they are public, so...
And they do demand us.
They do. It's getting too much. I might Chappelle this and just,
But you're getting paid millions.
It's not worth it, dude. It's not worth it. This lavish lifestyle is a curse now.
I don't think I can handle it anymore. Let's go to Africa.
I don't like the heat, so...
Get out of the kitchen, then.
That is apropos. That is a wise statement.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 82nd episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for the first part of April 2018. In this episode, we do our big Adepta wrap-up. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to this episode. I think it's your turn to start.
Are you sure?
I think so.
We had Pat on last time, right?
Yeah, I think I did it, didn't I?
I think I did, but I'll start if that's
this argument.
Your recollection, I will gladly.
Well, you've listened to it probably more than I have, so you're probably more.
I have not. I don't want to alarm you, but I've been in another country.
God, really?
Yeah, I was going to tell you today, but then you were like, hey, you want to record? And I said, well, I can wait.
Why don't we discuss it on the show?
Ooh, that is a delightfully intricate plan that I had not even remotely thought was possible.
Content.
Context.
And that doesn't make sense.
Contact.
Yes. Go.
And welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. This is episode 82. And with me is my amiable, my ever-present, and always lovable little squishy pal, Rob Harper.
Oh, I thought you get what's the Dreadball guy's name? We always get the name wrong.
Martin.
Anyways, yes, I'm Rob. And who are you?
And I'm Jack.
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot. I love in that, this is a tangent, probably won't be in the show, but I love in Coach's video. At the one point, I'm like, Jack's dead.
And then you never see me again.
But you're here.
The rumors of my death were greatly exaggerated.
Yes. And the show is going to be the Adepticon wrap-up, Adepta-wrap. And we have a lot to talk about, so I'm sure it'll fill a whole show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good times. A whole week condensed down to 1 hour's worth of content.
And also, at the very end, I'm going to add in the Dead Zone and Hellboy sections from Ronnie's talk at Mantic Open Night. So wait till after we're done talking and you'll hear that. Other people have put it up already, but just in case you haven't heard it or, you know, whatever, you just want to hear those parts.
Yeah.
I'll put it up. So Jack, yeah, we went to a little thing called Adepticon last week-ish, or I guess it's almost 2 weeks. Is it? Wow. It's already been like a week. We've been home. It seems like it just was yesterday.
Well, it's only been 3 days, so.
I haven't recovered yet. My brain is still brain dead.
Oh, I spent a day in bed afterwards. That's for damn sure.
I had to work the next day.
Ew.
Yes, my brain is still a little fuzzy. Like, I'm losing it, I swear. I think Ronnie tried to kill me. But we'll get to that.
You met Ronnie?
We'll get to that.
Oh.
So let us start. Let us do this. Let's go chronologically. I think that's probably the best way to do it.
just attempting it, Rob. I appreciate your gumption. When it fails spectacularly, I will still say it was probably the best way to start.
Yes, we'll start chronologically. We won't end chronologically, I'm sure. Chronologically, yeah, we jumped on a train at midnight in Buffalo, and it's supposed to take 10 hours, and it took 14 hours. We were literally in a train traffic jam.
Yes.
Which was bad, but we also it worked out all right because by the time we got there, our hotel was ready to go into. But on the train, that's when we found out that his flight was canceled and then canceled again and all this stuff. So, we had that to look forward to, that fact that we weren't the worst off in the traveling conditions.
Yeah, that's why I will not complain about sitting on a train. In fact, it was when the trains were stopped. It was when I got my only shut eye of the night. So I'll count blessings rather than complain.
Yeah, for sure. Cause it wasn't too bad. I found this year it was smoother and, maybe it's cause we're used to it now. It was much better to go on the train.
Yeah, I say that the train was a newer, better version, and I could see a lot of work on the tracks. So between those two, it wasn't the nightmare that it had been the year before.
Yeah, it just took some derailings for Amtrak to maybe improve their system.
Ugh.
Some deaths. Anyway, so we got there. It was all good. We met up with Pat. Community Pat was the man. He's always takes care of us when we go to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And it was good times. What did we do the first day? I don't remember. Oh, no, we just relaxed. I think we were in the hot tub the first day, which was nice.
Yeah, met a nice gentleman from Pennsylvania.
You got invited back to his room for some back rubs.
That didn't happen, but yeah, we did relax and unwind. We got into the rooms and kind of just did our thing, which we didn't get to do last year. So I think it was, it helped. It really did.
Well, you did have a list. You had a list of things you wanted to get done this year that you had to do, and that was definitely on it.
Yeah, I smoked that list.
Well, the one thing on the list, it really wasn't there, so you couldn't do it. That was the coupons. We wanted to use coupons this year. Last year, we had all these coupons in our goodie bag that we never used. But this year, they didn't really have any.
No, the last year, there was a cornucopia of coupons that I was like, oh, I wouldn't mind. But this year... A couple, like we looked at a couple of things that were there, and
yeah, we'll not get
that
to,
I didn't spend.
Yeah.
don't get me wrong, I didn't. I wasn't chased with my wallet. I met it in a dark alley, and it will never recover. It's still in the hot shower right now.
You know, I'm disturbed by that imagery. Then the next day, we helped Pat set up the booth. That was fun. It's always good to be with Pat and Brian and John Jack setting up the booth. It's a quiet time for us to reacquaint ourselves with the Manta crew.
Yeah. And eventually, Joni showed up and people trickled in, but, we were there right from the get go, and there's video or there's picture evidence of, me, doing boudoir photos on Mantic stock, if anyone's looking for it.
Yes. We'll have all the pictures at deadzonegame.podbean.com or on YouTube, so you can check that out. And thank you to for preempt all these pictures. That I think I took that picture, but thank you to Beetle. Beetle is the photographer. I call him the paparazzi for our group because there was a lot of candid photos that we may or may not talk about that he did. And it was a good times to have someone taking pictures because we always forget.
Yeah, it was, but we'll get to that. Beetle in this timeline has not arrived yet.
That's true. So, he does not exist in our time frame yet.
Not yet, but we did set up the Mantic booth, and it looked spectacular. There was a ton of stock there. Not a lot of any one thing, but there was a ton of stuff.
Well, there was a lot of Star Saga and Dreadball. Star Saga, we actually built two towers on the edges of the booth. There was so much of it.
And they went.
Yeah, they had good deals on Star Saga. Dreadball was the that was the game du jour of this year. That was the, what do they call it, the debut or the release of that Dreadball 2. So that was a major focus on them this year. And they were doing Dreadball 2 and Star Saga demos? Yes.
In the booth.
They also had showing off Terrain Crate, all the stuff that's coming in the new Terrain Crate, like all the bits and bobs. And they had Hellboy on display, which was pretty amazing, a painted Hellboy from the studio painter. And they had Vanguard, which Hellboy was like, okay, obviously I'm going to be in love with Hellboy. But that Vanguard stuff was pretty. That was a surprise to see how nice that stuff was too.
So you're saying you loved Hellboy? That is a shock. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. That was like, I'm the mark for that. Like, that's obvious. That's like nothing. But when we also met Martin Thirlwell. He was there, and when he opened up his like special case, and it was like in Pulp Fiction, it starts shining on his face, and he brought it out. And it was just like, yes, it was a magic moment when that came out of the case. And they had that on display. The Mantic booth was good because last year they had it kind of with the displays in the middle, and it was really closed off. This time they had it really open, and it was great for foot traffic coming through and hanging out. You didn't feel like you're in the way all the time, and generally it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a little wider open, just the way it was laid out, and it allowed for a little better, moving around and kind of. Especially with the Brush for Death, with that display, there needed to be a little better organization. And this year it had it. It was good. There was what, four tables, two tables?
Yeah, just two tables for demos. And last year they had that big, Dead Zone board that was old. And I think they had some other, they had a Walking Dead display, which they got, I think it eventually died. Like it was a cardboard display. And all their posters, instead of putting them down there, they had them up in the game room, which looked really good. That you could tell that was our area. Like there was all these Dead Zone, Kings of War, and Walking Dead, and Dreadball post, like those, what do they call, standees or whatever they're called?
Yeah,
that. So they up in, we were in a Utopia D upstairs, and we had, I think, three full rows at the first couple of days at least, and that was the Mantic area. It was good to set that up. You actually had to go set up all the mats and stuff. I was busy doing something else at the time. I can't even remember. I think I was setting up product, and all of a sudden you disappeared. I was like, oh, where'd Jack go?
Which could be the theme of the weekend.
Yeah, it's true. I lost you a few times.
But my abductions withstanding.
They always brought you back.
Yeah, I forget what it was that you were doing, but we had to go upstairs and we took there was boxes and boxes of terrain that Pat and John Jack had to build for the Dead Zone tournament and then for Firefight. So we had to take that upstairs, and it was a whole, it was a long day, like really.
Yeah, we did. Other than that, like that day was, other than standing in line for our badges, that was pretty much that whole day.
I think you played
Dreadball later that day, but other than that, it was mostly that day was working. Which is fine, because Pat always hooks us up, and he brought us McDonald's. So.
Yeah, he's a stern but fair taskmaster.
That's true. He never beats us. It's quite nice.
Unless we deserve it.
Yep. Unless we step out of line. But So we were standing in line for the badges, and Jack was like, oh, I want to get, cause we found out that, Guild Ball was the big, like, giveaway. Like, that was they always give away kind of a starter set. And Jack's always, you've been interested in Guild Ball for a while. So you're like, okay, let's stand in line. I was like, okay. We get in line and we're like, oh, we're really far back this time. The moment we get in line, we look behind us. The lineup went the rest of the way of the whole place. It was like, we got in just in time. Otherwise, we'd been there much longer than we were.
I wanted to get in there and get the Guild Ball. I was looking forward to it. And as the good chum that you are, you decide to stand by me. And so we got in line. And that's when we first saw Beetle again this year.
He comes into the narrative now. Beetle showed up.
Yeah. And so I went over and introduced myself again, and we chatted a bit. But getting our badges was the big thing, the big to-do.
Yeah, I remember last year we just kind of all of a sudden got in line and it wasn't that big. But this year, for some reason, everybody had the same idea and it was ravenous to get in line this year.
And it took forever for that line to go. Forever.
Yeah, I think it was an hour and a half when we stood in line from when we started till when we got our stuff. And, do you want to talk about what we got now, or we'll save it to the end? We'll have a big attempt. We'll talk about all our whole haul at the end.
Yeah, might as well save it to the end, because I think if we run out of time, I think that's where we can cut some of the fluff.
So that was the end of Wednesday. That night, we both slept like babies because we worked pretty hard and it was good times.
No sleep and, I don't know, did we even have dinner that day?
I don't think we did. I think we went right back to the hotel and just went to sleep.
So no sleep, a little bit of hard work and, no food. We crashed.
Yeah. Because by the time we got our bags and stuff, it was pretty late by then.
Yeah.
And, yeah. We'll take a break here for some music and interlude so I can edit this easier. We'll be back to talk about Thursday. Actually, before we go, I forgot to say, you did play Dreadball that first night on Wednesday. Let's talk about Dreadball. You played against Jeff Burbage, right?
Yes. A little kind of pickup game. It was originally going to be a Mantic Insiders Dreadball tournament. But the setup took a long time, and it just turned into a friendly kind of, I don't know what you'd call it. We all just kind of lined up and said, we're all playing Dreadball, threw with the pitches, and went down.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a tournament of some sort with all the Mantic guys, but I think everybody played one game, and then everybody was so tired, it devolved right then. Nobody played another game.
So Jeff Burbage and I, he kind of showed me the ropes. He showed me the ropes, then threw me against them, and then clotheslined me, and then got up on those ropes, swatted his elbow not once, not twice, but thrice, and then leapt and planted it into my solar plexus, and that was it. And then I moved my second guy. It was over.
Yes, he was merciless. He was a merciless teacher, but he beat you with a kendo stick before just finishing off.
It was much like a kung fu movie where I go in as the pupil. You know, I'm taking it serious, but like I still don't know just how serious it's got to be. And then all of a sudden, that's right. Then I'm just there punching a log going, this is bullshit. And then he comes out and goes, oh, you think this is bullshit? And got real.
That was a lot of swearing there.
Oh, I apologize. I got a little
we're off today. Saucy.
Yeah, we're off today, so I've got a snoot full of Uncle Jack's special medicine going, so I apologize.
Your Majesty.
Your Majesty.
Yeah, so now we'll take that short interlude, and we'll be back to talk about Thursday, like I said before I remember that I meant to ask Jack about Dreadball.
Yeah, Dreadball is fun. I enjoyed it, and it may have influenced a future purchase.
Spoilers!
Hey, this is Community Pat, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back. That was nice music. What do you call that song, Jack?
The original title was going to be Ode to an Orc with No Tusks, but I hear the composer said that it sounded a little too homoerotic. So, you know, the final name was the final name after some consideration. But so we're on to, Friday?
Thursday. We're only on Thursday.
Oh, dearie dear. I've sped ahead.
My memory is so bad and I have brain damage that I don't remember what happened Thursday.
Well, your brain damage has spread because Thursday,
you played Beetle, I think, on Thursday.
I played Sue in Dead Zone. I played Beetle. Then I played Sue, then Beetle again, if I'm remembering that. Or so it was Sue Foreman. You all know her. She's the minion of Bill Foreman, the trainaholic. So she was a little rusty. She hadn't played in a little bit and wanted to kind of shake the cobwebs out. So I was glad to do that. And then, yeah, Beetle showed up, and he had a strike team that I don't want to, drop names or anything, but was devised by those lovely gentlemen on the award-winning team building exercise. So, kudos to them. My hat, I salute ye.
I doff it thusly.
Yes, he had the basics down just from, reading the books and stuff, and I started teaching, and he was picking up very quickly. Beetle he was learning faster than I could teach, actually, at one point. But I think I gave him like two or three just solid nuggets for the army that he had. And, without going into spoiler territory, he listened.
Yes, we'll get to that on Friday. I also played, Rick Hall. We met Rick Hall, who's a really cool guy, a TO from Michigan.
He is dope. He is one of the nicest guys I've met in a while, where I was just like, this guy would be my friend, like, immediately.
Yeah, he fit right in pretty quickly. It was pretty amazing. Like, it was like we always knew him. And we played our G.I. Joe versus Cobra. We didn't get to record it because, obviously, Coach wasn't there yet because of his delays. But we got to play a good game, and it was super close. Like, for just throwing together some stats for some G.I. Joe versus Cobra, which are available for free for anybody on the Patreon site if you go to Dead Zone the Podcast on Patreon. You can find those lists for Cobra and G.I. Joe. He brought the Dreadnoks, and I brought some Joes, and it ended up Snake Eyes with a few green shirt Joes were the only ones left. The good triumph, but it was close, and we lost some good people.
So for just horsing around, making a couple lists and playing, it was a good game. I sat and watched some of it. You had fun. It was fun to see. Two people who really, it was a G.I. Joe versus Cobra Dead Zone game. Like, come on. And it looked like G.I. Joe versus Cobra.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it most. Yeah, you could tell who was everybody. And it was, you were doing it like, oh, who's that guy supposed to be? Everybody was like, oh, I know who that is.
yeah, that's, you're right.
And you got into character a bit. So that was fun. So that was Thursday. And, eventually on Thursday, that's when Coach showed up. Yeah, because Coach came, they drove all the way from New York City eventually after their flights were all canceled. And they just showed up and caused havoc. And it was good to see those guys again. It was Coach, Andrew, E-Rock, and Fabian showed up. After that long drive, they were pretty whipped too. We forgot about Tyler. Tyler was there too. He showed up earlier on Thursday.
Yes. But our dear sweet Tyler, he took the con experience and said, bend over this barrel. This is not going to be pleasant for either of us. And that was the theme, because that dear sweet boy was busy from start to finish.
Yeah, he was the Iron Man. He actually won the Mantic Iron Man. He played in every event, and he was busy that Thursday playing in Dreadball. Dreadball tournament was going on while we were screwing around with Dead Zone. And, He was there. He had his display boards for every single game, and he was a madman. I couldn't play like two games that whole weekend without getting like, okay, I don't want to play any more games. Jack played a few more, and even you were like, okay, I don't want to play more games. But Tyler played, I think he played at least 10 games in tournaments.
Oh, I remember him. He gave me the final count. It was a staggering amount.
Yeah, because he was in Dreadball, he was in Dead Zone, Kings of War, and Warpath, Firefight. So he was in four tournaments that weekend, and I think he even picked up some of the pickup games. I think he played in the jet bike races, and I don't know if he actually got to Mech Zone, but he played in quite a few things.
Yeah. So any time we're talking about what we're up to and Tyler doesn't make an appearance, because he is one of the boys, he's one of the crew, so it's not that we're forgetting him, it's that he was literally shackled to a table.
Yeah, he was busy.
Many times just to see him, I would go up to where he's playing and go, hey, buddy, you need some water, you need something, how's it going? Because it was like a Bataan march of of games for him.
Yeah, I don't even think he got to go to the dealer room that much because he was so busy.
Well, he made enough to fall in love with a product, so.
Oh, did he? I don't know about this, but we'll get to that when we get to the dealer room section.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, he's in love.
He always finds one thing to fall in love with. Last year it was the Terracotta Warriors, so I'm curious to hear what it is this year.
Yeah.
And, so that was Thursday. Once again, we stumbled back to our rooms and slept it off because we had an early day Friday because that was Dead Zone and Warpath Firefight, where Dead Zone started at 8, I think, 8 a.m.?
Yeah, we were supposed to be there for 7:30 and then the game started at 8, or it was supposed to, we were there for, yeah, that's what it was.
And then by the time Warpath ended, I think it was like 11. No, not quite that much. I think it was 8. Maybe it might have been 12 hours of gaming for those guys. Luckily, Jack, you were just in the Dead Zone tournament. You didn't have to do Warpath Firefight, so you were able to escape after that. But how was the Dead Zone tournament? You played a few games. You had a little fun.
Yeah. My first game was against E-Rock, and that boy rolls like a champion. Coach warned me. Everyone's warned me that he's an 8-train machine. And that aside, he was playing a Veerman army that relied on the splats, which I've always said you can't do that, but it worked out every time for him. It was a good game. He smoked me pretty bad. The second game I played was against Joe Neat, I think. Yes, and that was such a good game. And if you want to see that our game board, that's on Beast of War because a lovely young lady came by and was taking pictures as me and Joe played. And
was, if you go to the Dead Zone tournaments on the Beast of War, they had a lot of posts for Adepticon. They had live blogging. If you could find the Dead Zone tournament one, yeah, Jax and Neat Joe's are the ones that are. It's plague on plague action.
It was a very good game. And I think we both had a good time. I think that was the first time I really got to really, you know, I hadn't played against Joe before and I really hadn't talked to him, like just hung out. But we were just like, we were bros.
Yeah. Whatever that you hear on the Third Sphere, it's all a show. He's actually a really nice guy. He's not the brash young man you hear on there.
He's not the man that outbrashes Coach, which is a shocking statement, but it's been claimed. But no, I really enjoyed that game.
I would like you to describe what you did when the Beast of War people were there, though, because you're a showboater and you refuse to not do something crazy.
If you look at the picture, it is Joe's abomination aberration on one of the objectives. And he's got his red and he's got like a really surly, like grim dark version of the Mantic paint job on his plague. And I have the green kind of sickly gooey green and my abomination aberration. I'm calling it abomination now because Bill Foreman for all weekend was calling
them abominations.
Yeah. It's my aberration and she was there taking the picture. So I went, you know what? I gotta be me.
You gotta showboat for the cameras.
Yeah, which is the title of my biography, Showboat for the Cameras. So I sent my aberration up to have a little chat, and through a spectacular dice roll, which should never have happened, I one punched him. Right from tits to teeth, I put my fist right up through there and. Yeah, and that was for the cameras, and I think it won me the game just by 8-training on a stupid move.
You're showboating, and it paid off for once.
I think so, but we were having such a good game. The scenario had explosive weapons crates, and it was just for two melee strike teams to be fighting over these things that could explode. Oh, it was a good time, and I... it was good to just sit and play a game with Joe and get to know him. And he's just a really nice guy. So, and I did win that game. So at that point, I was in the middle of the pack. I got beat pretty bad, but I had a pretty good win. So next I met, with our old friend Beetle, Young Mr. Well, he insists on being called Beats now. Like, now that he's in the gang, he took every lesson that I gave him, and whatever other lessons he had learned in the earlier two matches, and he went to town. Now, right in the first round, he got a bunch of 8 trains and killed a plague teraton and my aberration with, like, boom, boom, one after the other.
That's never good.
That is never good. And it spelt a disaster. And I held out, but the points were very low. So I kind of sank down, and then, but I was glad to see it. You know, Beetle's such a nice guy, such a good guy. He didn't let me hug him, but, other than that, very congenial and a non sequitur. Just while I'm thinking about it, he had given you the brush soap that he said he was going to bring.
Yeah, that's right.
But at this point, I didn't know, even till we were heading home. And I just thought, oh, he forgot. You know what? I'm not going to say, hey, where's my brush soap? I was going to grab him by the scruff of his neck and, hey, you said brush soap. So I didn't actually say thank you for the brush soap because I didn't know I had received it via young Rob. So I just want to say right now, Beetle, Beats, thank you for the brush soap. That was very nice of you to bring some over when you'd heard that I was looking for some. So just, I want to say thank you.
And he also, he was going to put a stage 1A in our free box. We had a box full of free stuff to people to take, a bunch of miniatures we had. And he had a stage 1A and he almost put it in the box. I'm like, don't put that in the box. Jack wants that.
Yeah. Rob saw unbridled generosity and was like, I can't have that. Some unwashed masses will get a fine, fine miniature. So, yeah, but you knew where a good home for that would be. So,
well, all I knew is it wasn't worth being in the box of crap. That's all I knew.
No, in my mind's eye, I saw you leaping across it like a Secret Service agent to no.
Pretty much. And I said to him, the moment you show that to him, your eyes are going to light up. He showed it to you, your eyes lit up, and then he gave it to you, and you're like, oh, that's too nice.
Yeah. You read the situation correctly.
So, he gave me Boomer, which we never had. So I was just putting them together now. Old style metal miniature, but very nice of him to give us a miniature we did not have.
Yes, thank you. Because there were some scheduling issues with the way the lunch went and everything like that in the tournament, I'm not gonna start really getting too into like the how the sausage is made in the tournament.
But needless to say, it was Brian's fault.
Well, you can say that. I will take the high road and say I don't want to get into that. It wasn't done the way I would have done it. There was some issues, but anyway, so the time for each game had to go very, very quickly.
Yeah, it got shorter and shorter as they went.
And I had a very slow moving, had to get into position strike team. So the hour long game that was supposed to be for the last game was a half an hour. So I was playing Sue Foreman again with her dwarves and my plague. So I'm going to paint you a picture, a little mural here. Let's get all impressionist here. Let's do a little Monet. My stage one and dwarves trying to get from one edge of the field to the other towards each other. It was a there was not enough time. And our points were so low because of it that we ended up in last place.
Yeah, Sue was in last, you were in second last. But I think between losing to Erock, who was on the final table at the end, he didn't end up placing because this the way the Swiss system works, that if you're on the final table, you can get screwed and get knocked way off the points. But so you won against Joe Neat, which is good, but then you fought Beetle, who just destroyed you because you taught him the evil ways. And then, yeah, you got the last mission. The last game was just too short to get any points. Like you said, weren't you like right about to get all the points and then the time went?
We were just starting the second round, and there was a tower defense system going on, and I had 2 teratons and a aberration right there. No, we were starting the third round. It was very early on though, but, yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love Sue. She's adorable. I thought, like, but I was there to win,
So I came with thunder, but
you're just saying this because Coach is listening, right?
No. I was there to win, but the time, a half an hour was not enough time to start and then get the job done. Like, it just was not enough time. So we, but anyways, our points were so low that, that was it.
Yeah, I think you end up like 6-4 or something like that for points.
Yeah. And then I got the 4 for the win. And then, yeah, it was pretty bad, but all in all, I don't care that I came in second last.
No, it's all about having fun for sure.
The best part was, and I will tell you honestly right now, the best part was when Rob came over and said, "Why is your hat on backwards?"
I looked down the aisle. Every single person on Jack's side had their hat on backwards, so Jack just had to do it.
And if you hadn't looked down the aisle and noticed, I was
like, I've never seen Jack wear a hat backwards. Like, it's never happened, I don't think, ever.
But so it was
like, what the hell's going on?
It was Jesse. He had his hat on, his cap on backwards. Then it was Joe Neat beside me. And then I was like, I looked over, saw all these caps backwards. And I said, well, you know what? I have to. It's just me. So I put my hat on backwards. Rob walks over and goes, why is your hat on backwards?
Yeah. That's the kind of thing Jack does.
Yeah. I hope I amuse myself and others.
Yep. And congratulations to the winners. Adam Kinney, who came in first from Michigan. And then John Carter came in second. And our own Tyler Schultz came in third. Good game, guys. I think Joe Neat got the Sportsman Award. Joe Neat got painting and Jesse got Sportsman Award in the end. So it was good times. It was pretty crazy, but it all worked out. And luckily, because everyone really knows how to play Dead Zone. It's been around long enough that I was helping out with rules, and I answered maybe 10 questions the whole, like, 5 hours over there. So everybody was pretty much on the ball.
Yeah, that's good.
Then the firefight tournament happened after that. Luckily, at that time, me and Jack could escape and go visit Pat and stuff like that. I was also live blogging a bit for Pat on the, and so was Andrew by that point. I did it on the day before for the Dreadball and Kings of War team tournament. But, Andrew was live blogging on Mantic, so you can go into Mantic Facebook and you can see all those live blogs if you're interested. And I may have said Dead Zone sucks in one of them, but I hope it comes across as a joke. After I said it, I was like, oh, wait, this isn't just Andrew. He's not going to edit this. This went out live.
It's like, oh. I have my own story about that, in which I uttered profanity aggressively towards the camera.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, indeed. And I'm hoping it didn't, no one notices, and I don't get branded as a
profane. Yes. So the lesson learned, if it's a live blog, don't start swearing or saying things that you regret. The firefight tournament went off. It was, everybody seemed to have it fun. Once that was a little bit more, slow going because so many people hadn't played that many games of it yet. So they ended up they're supposed to go 4 rounds. They only ended up going 3 rounds and that still went forever. Like, I remember at one point we were downstairs at the Mantic booth and somebody came, I think, Tyler came by. And I was like, oh, you guys done? He's like, no, we just finished the first game. We're like, it's like, you have no time for it. It was crazy. The time constraints for both tournaments were a little off. They should have been more strict with their timekeeping, I think.
Again, yeah. But Pat did say, and I agree with him 100%, that he was kind of people, the unwashed masses made the demands that the scheduling had to be a certain way.
Yeah, it was Adepticon, yeah.
And the people, the players.
There's a lot of people that wanted to play in the Dead Zone tournament. They couldn't put Dead Zone and Kings of War at the same time because there's a lot of people that wanted to play in one or the other. So they had to put both of those together on the same day. It was a long day, and Pat said that's never going to happen again because people were just burned out.
Yeah, he didn't say I told you so, but yeah, I don't think you need to be told I told you so. There was a lot of sad faces when he came up and he looked around. There was a few people that were still like, young Tyler was still, you know, full of piss and vinegar. But
although there's that one picture with his head in his hands, we thought he was like, looks like he's about to fall asleep.
Yeah, there was a lot of sad sacks up there. So Pat was right. That's all you need to know is Pat was right.
And I can't remember. I remember who won the tournament because it was E-Rock won it from Coach's crew. He won the first inaugural firefight tournament. And somebody from Michigan, I think named George, came in second. And who came in third? Do you remember?
No, we were
there. Oh, the best part was when they called Eric's name. Everybody's looking around, Eric? Everybody's looking around. It's like, oh, do you go to the washroom or something? And all of a sudden, we see him in the corner, and everybody looks at him, turns to him, and he just goes, points at himself and goes, who, me?
Everyone oh my God. So exhausted, and we no one really could fathom what was happening, but everyone was going, where's Eric, where's Eric? And he was standing right there, and then it dawned on him that it was him. But me personally, I start laughing because we all look at him.
Yeah.
And he's staring into staring into the crowd like, yeah, I'm like, you know, what's that Eric guy's problem?
Why isn't he answering?
I thought he was doing a bit.
Yeah. So
I start laughing. My sides hurt. I was laughing and I go, hey, he's doing a bit. And Tyler, who is sitting beside me, looks up at me and goes, I don't think that's a bit. I think he's f***ed up.
And then, Jack, Jesse Rick Hall, we all judged the painting contest. There was some really beautiful paint jobs there. And Tyler ended up winning the best painted, which is good. Coach was right up there. His board was amazing. It had lights on it. And John Curtis was cool. It was his whole army was themed after Guardians of the Galaxy. So there was a Guardians of the Galaxy ship. And then he had some head swaps on his guys. That pretty cool.
Yeah. And there's display boards, which I'm liking now, spreading throughout the Warpath universe is the bringing of display boards and the, done right. A painting contest is a nice little addition to a tournament for people who perhaps aren't the best players, but put time and effort into their, you know, their armies and the presentation and want to be a part of the community. I think it's valuable. So, you know, the power gamers might not think so, but I think it is. And, I would say that we were proven right by walking through and looking. We judged by five different criteria and there's a whole thing we did, but just seeing what was done and how it was done and stuff. I want to see more.
Yeah. I believe it was that George guy again. He had a really nice force, but he was disqualified just because he had non-Mantic miniatures. And same with Bill Foreman. His display base was about $1,000 worth of Mantic terrain. And it was massive and amazing.
Him and Shannon Shoemaker. I don't know how much.
Yeah, he built like a terror drome, yeah.
The amount of terrain crate that was used to build those, like, my God. It was spectacular, and I hope there's pictures floating around of like that whole area because they were all very nice. And like you said, that George guy, he had the paint job was fantastic. It was a gray urban camouflage with black. All the lines were neat. It was like if I was commissioning work, that's what I would want.
Yes. But, yes, it was they were all – well, everybody painted. Like I don't think there's one badly painted army in that whole group. So, I think it was everybody did a really well job. There was none of that where people just bring three colors up. Like everybody took effort into doing everything. So,
we did have to take time because the competition was that stiff. And like you said, we had to narrow it down to the three and work on it. And eventually, you know, Tyler did win.
Well, it was funny. Yeah, the numbers because we all gave it. So once we got down to those three guys, we gave them 1 to 10 on each of the categories. I think it was on each of the categories. And then we added it all together, and it was literally, I think, between the three guys, there was about 3 points between them. So it was like, it was pretty amazing how it worked out. And it was good. I think the right people won, and it worked out.
It helped, and the right people are the judges.
Yes. Yes, we're correct judging.
Anyways, yeah, that was the firefight tournament. That was, what happened after that?
Well, I think we went to we forgot to mention this on the very first night. We went with Pat to Kuma's Corner downtown Chicago, the original one. It's a heavy metal bar with loud music that all their burgers are named after metal bands. And we went again. There's one in Schaumburg where the tournament was that we went to with Coach and the boys. So that was there. that night at late dinner that night, and Jack, being Jack, ate something really hot to disagree with him.
You know, the thing was, I wanted something else, and then we were there, the waitress came, and I just second-guessed. I really enjoyed the burger from the night, you know, when we had it with Pat. We went down to the downtown gritty one that's like the real deal for the locals. The locals know that that's the one to eat at. And so I knew the name of it. I know it now, Plague Bringer. And it was jalapenos and spicy cheese and stuff. And as soon as I ordered it, my doctor, I could feel him. Like there was a disturbance in the force. He what? Following that up with a couple beverages, I haven't heard conclusive as evidence of it, but he may have just hung himself thinking that he had failed me by not stressing how important it was I not eat at 10:30 at night jalapeno a burger called the Plague Bringer, and then wash it down with some beers. But
I had the first time I had the Mastodon, which had some nice bacon and onions and stuff. And the second time I had the Slayer, which was pretty much I didn't want a burger bun anymore, so it was fries with pretty much a burger patty and chili cut in cheese. Everything in Chicago is covered in cheese. That's what we've learned.
Yeah. There's plenty of things we've learned about the restaurant, the way the restaurants operate in Chicago. But and Bill and Sue Foreman came out with us, and it was a good time.
Word to the wise: if you're in Chicago, it takes a long time to order. And it takes a long time to get your food, and it takes forever to get your check. they don't want you out of there. Most places, you know, they're trying to move you through. That's not the way in Chicago. It's you sit and talk, and yeah, it's a much more social situation.
Very much so.
So yeah, that was Friday night, and then luckily Saturday was our free day. None of us had anything planned Saturday. And that was the shopping day. That was the hanging out day. We had good times. I think there's some pickup games people started doing. Until Mantic Night was at night, but we'll get to Mantic Night. Anything else you want to talk about before we get to Mantic Night?
Well, we did the jet bike races.
Oh, that's right. Jet bike races. And yeah, jet bike races were the best because that was on Friday, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what was Saturday? Saturday was mech then.
Oh, yes, I got recruited into running a mech game, but jet bike races anyways. I was way behind. I kept going as fast as I could. Luckily, made some rolls, and Jack hit me at one point to put me in the right direction, and I ended up coming in second, so I was in the finals. That was pretty funny. And, yeah, Mech Zone, I got recruited by Pat because there was too many people. They were so busy trying to run the Dead Zone and Warpath tournaments. They needed someone else to help, so I ended up having to run Mech Zone with Johnny P. Me and Johnny P. were... He was playing, but he was also he invented the game back in version 1. So we're trying to on the fly trying to fix the rules as we're going. So hopefully people had fun. I think some people had some fun playing it, but it was definitely not a real game at that point.
No, it hadn't been updated. There was plenty of problems with it. From what I hear, it was kind of like on the fly, I would hope that if it's done again, that kind of stuff gets nailed down. Because people do pay good money to be involved with it.
Yeah. Supposedly Brian is working on it to modify it. It really just, because there's mechs now are pretty even and there's more hit points, you start just wailing on each other. It takes forever to kill each other. In version 1, they only had one wound. So you'd hit them and they'd blow up and you'd have your guys running around a lot more, the pilots. But in version 2, they just last too long. Plus people were taking energy shields and... I had to like modify it just to kill people off quicker because it was just ridiculous. But Beetle ended up winning that one too, the one I was running. So Beetle was on fire. He won the jet bikes too. He was the one in our heat and jet bikes. He won that heat. I came in second. And then in the finals, he did the exact same thing, just drove perfectly around the circle and won it again. So he was on fire that weekend.
His demeanor is very much like just not, He's the opposite of me. Whereas I'm showboating, he doesn't showboat. He sits there. He goes, "This is what I have to do," and he just does it. And he didn't look like he was taking joy in the victory, but he was going to be victorious because that's just the way he was. Like that's what he does.
But I think he did take joy in it anyways because he was very happy.
Eventually he did. Yes. But while I'm handing it up,
when he was on doing it, he was all business. Yeah, right.
He was all business. It was analytical, and where I'm hamming it up, he was just like, "Okay, I'm just going to take this line, to take this, corner. That was it.
Yes. And, I think that wraps up until Saturday. Yeah. Saturday we did a lot of shopping and then it was, we'll talk about what we shopped for. And we didn't do any demos. We're not demo kind of guys. A and B, we don't need any more games, even though spoilers, we did get more games.
Can we address some of the dealer room stuff now as we've just kind of touched on that?
Well, we'll take a break because it's running long and then we'll go to dealer room and then Mantic Knight. How's that sound?
Okay. Everyone, we're going to hurry up. Let's hurry up. We got stuff to do. Come on. Get back soon. Come on.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
Okay, and we're back. Thank you for returning. Where were we? We were just discussing a Saturday morning.
Dealer room. I think you wanted to mention some of the stuff in the dealer room.
I just wanted to mention that this year the dealer room had, it was all one company, one product. It didn't have the variety that I was accustomed to, despite being a third of the, you know, bigger. There wasn't the same, I don't know.
It seemed like a lot of the smaller companies weren't there. It was a lot of bigger ones. And I've heard that's what Adepticon's looking for. They don't want the smaller companies there anymore, supposedly. And, yeah, it was much more like, well, Legion, Star Wars Legion was the thing that was packed. Plus, on the other side, we had Forge World, which was a lineup around the block. And then, yeah, other than that, it was like Warlord Games. It was Mantic. It was Flames of War. It was huge game, like Guild Ball. They really dominated Reaper, Secret Weapon. Remember last year they had a pretty big booth. This year they had a little table. Like they didn't even have much space.
Guild Ball had almost nothing.
Yeah, they were very small compared to last year. It seemed like they were, it was, everybody kind of went overboard last year and now everybody toned down a bit.
There was a lot of dialing back, that's for sure.
Oh, Malifaux was pretty big. But yeah, the smaller companies, there was a few, like there's always the, like Elric Hobbies is a big hobby store that they always have bases and stuff. They were there. And there's a few other hobby stores and things like that. But there was no small dealers, I guess some of those were in the hallway over that one side. There was a few over there where Mod Cubes was and that kind of thing.
Steven from Mod Cubes. Yeah, we talked to him.
Yep. And they're refining the Mod Cube version 2. He had samples there. Very cool. They're magnetized and you can swap them out really quickly. So you can use the same cubes for many different games. And, yeah, he's excited about that. It's probably going to be late this year that he's going to come either Kickstarter or direct pre-orders. He's not sure yet. So he has our information and he'll contact us when he has more information. Cause, yeah, we love the Mod Cubes and people obviously love them. He said that out of all the people, obviously like, 40K and what was the other game? Infinity or something? I think it was Infinity, the other game. He said they're just by volume, they were the ones that sold most, but he said by capita, it was definitely Dead Zone because there's so many people just want them for the crates and for the command dice. So it was nice to hear.
We've made our voices known that Mod Cubes are pretty dope, so.
And he said that in this new one, he's going to hopefully have a system where you can print your own. You can choose your sides for, and you can, so you can make your own custom dice, which would be kind of cool to be able to make whatever, Star Saga or, like, say, Command Dice for, Dead Zone and, Dungeon Saga, all those, like, special, well, I think Dungeon Saga doesn't use specialty dice, but all the ones that do use specialty dice, if they're a D6, you'll be able to do that. So that's kind of cool. That is the future of dice right there.
But, yeah, so we went through the dealer room. Like I was saying, it didn't have the same, like, wild, it wasn't the wild west of shopping that it was the year before. It was pretty dominated by one thing that, I wasn't too bowled over by. A lot of people would disagree, but...
You mean the Legion?
Yeah, Legion, but...
Well, yeah, but, neither of us were even interested in... Like, when it was announced, everybody's flipping out, and both me and Jack were like, yeah, it's Star Wars game.
Yeah, okay,
We both grew up with Star Wars, but neither of us are crazy about, like, going crazy about it.
No. Maybe when the Borg expansion comes out, I might get that, but...
You just made so many nerds cry.
Me and Beats were having a little discussion about that, but I don't want to, you know, that might be in spoiler territory. But but the dealer room was nice. We made our purchases. We had our shopping lists that we needed, and then we splurged a little bit.
Yes. And we will talk about our hauls later. But, and we did talk about Mantic. Mantic booth was good. It had a nice open area. Is there anything else that really caught your eye? There was not much that caught my eye, unusually. No Protoss there, which last year was the one that my big surprise when I bought the tank from Protoss. That was the big one for me last year. Cav had their own booth this year, which is really cool.
And when we were setting a Mantic, they unrolled a banner and a big green mech just it displayed itself like a saucy harlot. Right in front of us, and I thought, oh, he's not walking away without buying anything. And
yeah, I bought three of the Cav mechs, and somebody else had deals on Battletech mechs, so I bought some of those. The big one, the War Machine, had 2-for-1 starter sets, and I've always wanted the Big Jacks because I have a mech obsession, and I convinced Jack to grab one of those.
Yeah, I don't have a mech sexual. I'm not a mech sexual.
That was a Freudian slip.
I'm not a mech sexual like Rob is, but he did say it's 2-for-1, you know, $20 for something that's probably $40, you know, MSRP. So I got it's something or Vorboros. I don't know. I don't play. But it was a delightfully, a dynamic posed woman druid looking thing. And there was some werewolves and a little Cerberus looking creature. So I said, you know what? You can't beat the price. And I went in.
Yeah. Mostly to appease me. I think that was our big surprise. I don't know why we're talking about that. We're supposed to be talking about it in the hall, but we're talking about the surprises. But, other than that, it was, I wouldn't say underwhelming. It was crazy. Like, there's tons of stuff, but it wasn't anything spectacular where we're like, oh wow, look at that, or you know.
No, every dealer that did 3D printing of things was printing Star Wars esque huts and training. And anyone who did like mats was doing Star Wars esque mats. Anyone like it was very much Legion.
Yeah, they knew where the bread was buttered that year, and I'm sure everybody made money off it too.
By the crowd around that Legion booth, I would say that there's a lot of money that changed hands that weekend. And
well, just if you go to Family Gamer 777, you can see their haul just off those guys. They made, if everybody was like them, which I think they were probably on the low side.
Oh yeah, probably.
They made every because it wasn't they were, the thing was Fantasy Flight was only demoing the game. All the dealers were actually selling the game, so a lot of booths were just Legion. Like it was just. There was booths that normally would have other stuff, but they were just selling that because they knew that was what was going to sell. So it really did dominate quite a few of the regular hobby shop booths. And the rest of the day we just wandered around a lot, and it was good. We talked to a lot of people and hung out with a lot of people, which is always great.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but there was a lot of people there, more so than last year. Like, we met Shane. Shane, he brought his buddy Travis along. He's pretty dope. I talked to him for quite a bit on Mantic Night. Don't want to, you know, jump ahead, but I really spent some time talking to people that we know through the hobby and through the show. And so it was that was the time for it.
Yeah, it was good. We did see a lot of people that we saw in past years. Plus, we've met a lot of new friends, which is really the reason we like to go, is to meet all the people. We say it every time, but that is definitely a big perk. For me, I'd play no games the whole weekend and I'd still be quite happy. And I think I only played Jet Bikes and that G.I. Joe game. I don't even think I played anything else other than that, but it was a good weekend for me.
Yeah.
So then Mantic Night comes along. And this time there was no kerfuffle getting in. Oh, there was a bit of a kerfuffle getting in, but not as bad as last time.
Oh, you know what? I get to the door and the same guy was at the door and he said, okay, where's your, I need to see your tickets. Now this year I was told directly from Community Pat that there would be a guest list. So I, in my head, thinking that I'm here like 10 minutes early, 15 minutes early. I'm thinking someone set him up for this. I thought it was a bit. I didn't have tickets. Look, there's supposed to be a guest list. So I just kind of, hey. And then Brian was like, I need to see your tickets. And I was like, oh, no, this is a bit of a kerfuffle already. So last year, rather than, you know, getting heated, and did, I just pushed my way through.
He just walked right past him.
I literally pushed past two people and was like, oh, f*** this. Like, I don't need this repeat. So I just went through, and then Rob was like, hey, I already picked everything up. So I'm like, okay, I don't care.
Then we sat down with John Jack at the Barroom Brawl, just coincidentally, because we're like, oh, we got to sit somewhere. And little did we know there was a huge lineup for this thing that eventually formed behind us, but we're just like, oh, well, I guess we'll sit here.
Well, to be honest, that is not why I sat there. I had talked to Rick Hall earlier, and he had run the Barroom Brawl once, and he said it was fun as hell.
Oh, you already knew about it? Yeah.
And he was like, you got to do it. You got to do it. And I was like, because we were talking. I headed over after you guys. So I ran into him and we just talked, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. We were just, you know, like old chums, like a couple of schoolgirls just tittering at each other. And then so I talked to Sue Foreman and she had won and she said, oh, this is so fun, so fun. So I said, before the end of this weekend, I'm going to play this. And if there's one time to play a game, it's with the creator, right, with a couple beers in me. So I was going to be playing that game that night.
Well, that was a coincidence because I think I sat down first. So it was lucky it worked out like that because I was just like, I don't know, I'm sitting here. And then we were joined at Barroom Brawl with Daria and her wife, Pip.
Pip.
And Travis and Shane, the aforementioned, and E-Rock was there, and John Jack was running it. But before we got to the game, though, we had the Ronnie's commencement speech. And before Jack even got there, Ronnie brought all of the few people that were there into the back room. We got to see Hellboy in all its glory. You can listen to Hellboy Minute. That just came out. That'll have all the information, what we saw, and a lot of it's been released now. There was no pictures allowed at the time. A lot, I think everything. No, not quite everything. There was a few other things in there that weren't released yet, but most things were released. So we got a little show and tell by Ronnie, which was cool. And Jack, you got to do that later in the night, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. We'll get into it, but I didn't, They did like a kind of thing, like afterwards you want to queue up and go through this little secret room and stuff. And I was like, I'm not doing that. But afterwards, after everyone else had been satiated, I was like, okay, well now's my time. Let's see what's doing. So.
Yes. So that was cool. Well, like I said, go to Hellboy Minute. You'll hear us talk about that stuff. And, Ronnie had his whole commencement speech and his State of the Union he does every year at Adeptcon. And we'll have the important parts, the Dead Zone and the Hellboy parts at the end of this show, as I mentioned earlier. And it was good. There was a lot of rules questions people kept asking, which Ronnie's not the person you ask rules questions to, but people kept asking them.
So. Yeah, please don't be a douche and don't do that. That is probably the I don't know, like you're wasting everyone's time asking someone, like you're wasting his time, you're wasting your time, you're wasting everyone in that room's time asking him minutia about one game in the line that the company does when really he can't possibly answer it. So just don't.
Yes. So, but it was still good.
Yeah, he won't say it and no one else there will say it, but just take it from me. You're just wasting a lot of people's time by asking stupid questions like that.
And so that was good. And you can hear the whole thing up on Family Gamers. We recorded the sound and they did the audio, the video. So we combined the two for a pretty good quality, I guess. And it's better than past years. That's for sure. You can actually hear Ronnie very well. And for ours, the questions are, you can't really hear the questions, which, like I said, the questions were that important. You get Ronnie's answer is the important part. On theirs, on their camera, they were able to get the questions a bit better. So If you really want to hear the questions, you can go on that one. And then we did play Barroom Brawl. It was by then I had quite a few drinks, so it was appropriate we were playing Barroom Brawl. I was playing a salamander character. Barroom Brawl is based on Dungeon Saga.
At that point, we were day drinking quite a bit. We had gone to a liquor store. We'd gone to a place called Big Chef, eating our faces off. Went to a liquor store and the bourbon and Irish whiskey, and there was a lot of stuff already cracked. Yeah.
Between me and Tyler, we finished off a whole bottle of rum before that point. I think there's a little bit left at that point, but I was drinking out. Me and the coach and the guys went to Chick-fil-A, and I had a cup, and you're not supposed to bring in drinks to the thing, but obviously I had a cup, so I filled it full of rum. So I remember at one point, Jack, taste this. And he's like, well, okay. And it was pretty strong.
Yeah, it was room temperature cola.
Yeah,
with a minute amount of room temperature cola, and then quite a stiff pour of spiced rum.
Yes. So at that point, this is Brawlroom Brawl. I was the salamander character, and Jack, what were you? You were a tree guy, weren't you?
Obviously.
But your tree guy, his whole thing was in the game. He's a spellcaster, but in this game, there's no spells, so Jack guy was pretty useless.
Yeah, there was two wizards without magic in there. So, the bullies of the group, the alphas of the group smelt weakness and attacked.
Well, all I know is I kept trying to stand up on a table, and if you roll any ones, you fall off the table. Needless to say, I stood up table, fell off the table, stood on the table, fell off the table 4 times, and I think I was definitely the most ineffectual of the whole game. And Eric kept trying to fight us, and we were trying to fight Eric back, but I think he finally gave up on us because we were just not worth the target. But in the end, I think Pip won that one, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, because I have a bladder the size of
a
small rodent, and I had to leave the game about 3 times. And the third time I came back, and everyone was wrapping up, because apparently while I was peeing and my tree man was standing there, young, innocent Pip, who looks – she's a delightful person. I talked to her for quite a while. She's got the heart of a killer.
Yeah, she beat up Jack for the win. And then I think E-Rock ended up in there, because E-Rock ended up with a mug, right, for some reason.
There's debate. There's debate about who that mug belongs to.
Yeah,
really.
Because you ended up with it. And that's why there's a picture Ronnie took of you with the mug.
Well, you're jumping ahead, but yes, the rightful owner does have a picture taken by the owner of the company of which we enjoy their products. So really, 9/10 of the law and all of that.
Yes. And then, so it was a good game, and I hope they put the rules out. I don't know if they are available, but John Jack made a fun, really fun game there. And it was more fun when you're actually drunk. I think that was the key.
We'll have to play it again stone cold sober and see.
Yeah, we'll all be just serious and beating each other up. After that, me, Pat, and Martin Thirlwall sat forever talking. So there was a lot of things said and a lot of secret meetings arranged. We'll have to see if any of that comes to fruition. But I was the businessman networking, and Jack was the schmooze guy. He was talking to the fans and shaking hands and kissing babies. And
yeah, well, like I was saying with Shane, people kept opening the door and leaving when the question and answer period was going on. It was a bit bothersome for me, and there was people standing, and like, I'm an able-bodied man. I can't just stand. So I said to Daria, she was standing, I said, "You want my seat?" So I let her sit in my seat. And I stood near the back, and I could see there's like people older than myself. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, it bothered me. So I just exited the room, and I ran into Shane, and he was out there. So we just talked while Ronnie was answering all the questions. I heard some of the Kings of War stuff, and it started to get into that, like what I was talking before. On page 65, do you think when you're attacking on an arc of 35 degrees, and Ronnie's face is blank, and then he doesn't know, and all everyone in the room's agitated, the door keeps opening and closing, and the noise from the outside keeps coming in, and I was like, I gotta get out of here. So, is that a window into my psyche right there?
Yes, I think it was.
Okay. Anyways, so Shane's out there, so I guess he suffers from the same the same problematic things that I do. And so we talked the whole time, and it was great. It was really nice to just get some. We talked to him quite a bit before, but I just really just a genuinely nice guy, and I hope we, you know, we can forge some sort of you know relationship where we, you know, when we see him next year, if there's a next year or next whatever, that if he's like, hey, it's those guys who are like awesome, not hey, I gotta go somewhere else.
Yeah, gonna avoid those guys. Yeah. Were you there when they were passing around resin prototypes of miniatures?
No, but you told me with great great embarrassment how you handled a probably the only prototype of a certain miniature that was in the country at the time.
So, like I said, I've been drinking a bit. So someone passes me this one-of-a-kind miniature. I fumble it. And luckily I caught it, like, not between my legs, but I shut my legs so it landed on my legs instead of smashing on the floor. But the only people who noticed were, I think, Travis and Pip was next to me, and she just starts cracking up. I'm like, oh, God. Nobody saw that. It was quite funny. But nothing broke. I was lucky for that. So, yeah, and then once inside, yeah, we were schmoozing, and we didn't play any other games. We only played that one game. Everybody else was having fun. There was Dead Zone being played. There was Dreadball. A bunch of, I don't even know, some of the games. I didn't even get to all the tables. There was just so much stuff going on.
No, I met Beetle's wife, Alex, and the three of us talked for quite some time. Those two are a couple made in heaven. They were clicking on a way that I will probably go to my grave without ever
finding that happiness.
Experiencing that connection with another human being, and it was nice to see. And I, Shane Nurl, the Pathfinder, him and I, he's like my Texas brother. That guy, yeah. Like he gets me. Like I think we're kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Now that there's two Shanes in the mix, I didn't know that there was, you know, like that it was gonna ever be a problem. Like Shane's a rare enough name that I thought at no point would I have to go, okay, which one is Shane, you know, Shane Pathfinder?
Sight?
Yeah, like I never thought I'd have to try and nickname Shanes, but that's the crazy world I live in now. So I spent quite a bit of time talking to him about Vanguard and why he's looking forward to it. And he was talking me through some of the stuff and that was nice. And yeah, I was just really just, you know, making the rounds.
Yeah, it was good. We had some good conversations. Eventually we got kicked out of that room because, they close at midnight, which was very early since it only started at 9, I think. Weren't there very long.
No.
So instead of breaking up, Ronnie's like, come on down here. And he goes down. There's a bunch of empty tables and Ronnie brought the party with him. But meanwhile, in my bag, I had everybody's liquor. So we just had like, I don't know how many bottles of bourbon and whiskey and rum. And it was this ridiculous amounts of liquor.
Yeah. We started drinking at the end of Magic Night. As soon as the popo had left the building, we started just drinking quite.
It was ridiculous amounts of liquor. And I actually stopped drinking at one point, but I was so drunk by then didn't matter. But
you were drunker than I've ever seen you in the last 25 years that I've known you, 30 years.
There's been times I've been drunker, but definitely the most drunk without throwing up. I think that's the easy saying.
But all done and said, a Mantic After Dark was a delightful, we just kind of just hung out for a little bit.
Want to talk about the adventures? Is that all secret stuff? Well, at least have to mention the spilling of the liquor 2.0 from Tyler.
Oh, okay. Well, it was basically a board meeting with very respectful, there was some discord and some, or discourse. There was some, basically a very low key thing. I met Adam Smasher again, talked to him. He did remember me from 3 years ago and being mentioned by Coach, but, there's pictures. And I talked to him for about half an hour and he is light. And, then Merlot 2.0. The second Mantic Knight in as many years, in which young Tyler, who is sitting across from Ronnie Renton, I don't know if you know him, the owner of the company that we were all there to celebrate, he proceeded to pour a drink.
This time it was Merlot. This time it was, what, you said it was Shanties or something? It was some – Shane Neural was sent out. Was it Shane?
Yes, Shane, who's not a big beer drinker, was sent out to get lager because our pals from across the pond like lager. So he read on the side of the box, lager. But it was a lager shanty, which means it has lemon in it. Lemonade. Like it's
needless for, there was a bunch of like people going, oh, like, dear God, what is this?
Apparently, and I've done it before. I can't say apparently. Like, it looks like I'm above drinking a shanty. Oh my God, I'm turning my nose up. Down there in the south, like Ohio, and in the summer around August, when you're having a picnic and you don't want to like really get too much on, they drink shanties, and it's, you know, but for a non-beer drinker not knowing, and then handing it off to an Englishman going, here's your lager, and there's lemonade in it, you know, it's, but anyways, there was a bottle sitting there, and Tyler, I was in the vicinity, but I didn't see it happen. Oh, I heard.
Yeah. Tyler talks with his hands. Like, you see him on the videos, he talks with his hands. And at one point he was saying something, and he just swung his hand out, bottle, right towards Ronnie. It was just flowing. So Neil, I was on the floor laughing so hard. And then, so Ronnie, without a beat, he had like, I don't know, he had about five different bourbons in front of him. He hands the tallest one to Tyler and is like, you know the rules, Tyler, okay. Pounded back the bourbon. And then he got up. I was like, oh God, he's going to throw up. But he was like, no, I just got to get some paper towels to clean this up. Meanwhile, Ronnie's just pushing it onto Tyler's seat.
He just, with this wave of booze, he's just washing it on. And I stopped Tyler. I said, hey, you all right? And he goes, yeah, I just feel bad. And I just got to get some paper towels. And I said,
that, you know, Jack had a hard time hearing him above my guffawing.
But I'm that kind of guy. Like if everyone's cool with the situation involved, like I don't like people getting bullied. I don't like anyone to, like if Tyler was like, no, I'm really upset, then I would, okay, let's deal with that. But he was just like, no, I got to clean this up. I said, don't worry. He's washing over your seat. And he was like, okay. But he went and got some paper towels. But there's photographic evidence of that because Beetle,
when
Rob says he's not around, but he is kind of around, Beetle is the same thing. You don't see him, but he's there.
Yeah.
And when Rob says, oh, we're not recording, he's recording.
Yeah, Beetle's the visual version of my sneaky recording. There's about 1,000 pictures that he has up there. We'll probably have a link to, if Beetle lets us, we'll have a link to all the pictures he puts up. And,
right. We have unbridled access to half of his pictures right now. And he's, he's in the process of like weeding them out and doing whatever. So we can't share too much, but,
hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll get a official opinion on that. But, yeah, there's evidence of the drink spillage.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, again, it was a nice quiet evening and nothing really happened.
I don't know if Ronnie felt bad about Tyler or what, or just, well, Tyler won the painting contest for Warpath, so maybe that's why. He offers Tyler a Hellboy miniature, one of the prototypes.
Tyler, yeah, that's a very coveted thing, and Tyler obviously would want to have something, basically one of probably a handful, probably five of them in North America.
If that, yeah.
If that.
So Tyler immediately says, no. And I thought he was just being nice and he was going to eventually take it. He's like, no. Rob would want that more than I would. And then Ronnie's like, I'm giving you something that's like very rare here. Like, take the goddamn thing. And he's like, nope. Rob will enjoy it. Finally, Ronnie looks at me and I'm like, just smiling, beaming at him. Like, yeah, please. I didn't say it, but that was what I was thinking on the inside. So he's like, okay, Ronnie gives me a Hellboy. So I have the Hellboy miniature, which I will be painting up and modifying because everybody has already painted it already. So I have to make it special.
And that is why Tyler is a 100% stand-up human being.
Yes, he's a champ among men.
Because he knew he could take it and he could turn that into clicks on YouTube. He could even paint it and enjoy it and doing whatever. But he knew there was a young redheaded boy whose heart would grow three sizes that day if he just said, no, I appreciate it, but he would appreciate it more. And by God, did you not shut up about that thing for the rest of the night as we stumbled, as Tyler and I were at one point thinking we're going to have to carry him home because your legs were betraying you on the walk home.
Yeah, it was a bit of a stumble home, but by then I was sobering up though.
Because our very
you know, casual banter did go on till I think it was 3 a.m.
I heard 4. That's what I heard. And I had a tournament at 8 a.m. the next morning.
Yeah, Tyler had a tournament too. But
yes. So that was that part. And I did end up with the Hellboy Metro, which I'm very thankful to Tyler for. My other theory is that I knew where Tyler slept. So he, maybe he was just fearing for his life that he'd just get a pillow over his face and all of a sudden his miniature would be missing.
But the thing is, we have the picture. Ronnie took a picture of you.
Yes.
With the miniature, and you could see your eyes are glassy and you've got the visage of someone high on life, but also rum. But then we have the reverse picture of Ronnie taking the picture via, Beetle, being the eye in the sky. So, there is no doubt that occurred. There is evidence, multiple. If that was a crime scene, it would have been solved by now because it's documented.
Yes. And, at this point, it was just a few of us left. There wasn't that many of us left. We're having a good time. Everybody's enjoying ourselves. Eventually, Ronnie had to leave. Like he had to wake up the next door. So he's in the same hotel. So he just went back to his room. So it was just me, Shane, Rick, Martin, and you. I think that's it, right? Oh, and Tyler. Tyler was still there because, yeah, he went home with us.
Yeah.
But we're all just standing around talking and hilarity ensues. I don't know if you want to tell the story, Jack. That's, it's pretty funny.
I don't know what the story you're talking about, but I don't remember anything at all. So we went back to the hotel and, Rob literally passed out while he was reclining.
I dropped all my clothes, my jacket, my sweatshirt, everything in one pile at my bed and just flopped on the bed and that was it.
And you took off your boots for the first time in the day.
Yeah.
And Tyler goes, Rob, cover up those feet. They stink. So you sat up, you blanket over your feet, and as you were laying back down, you were unconscious mid-lay down. Your arms flopped up to the side. Like you lost consciousness. Yeah. Your arms flopped up to the side. You started snoring immediately. And I don't believe you moved.
No, I woke you up in that position. Out. Yeah. I didn't sleep. I passed out.
That is, and Tyler and I sat for another probably half an hour, maybe even a little bit more. We just drank water, because he had to be up in 2 hours to do his tournament, his 2-day extravaganza.
Yeah, he was in a more serious. He was in the second day of the King's War tournament. I was just had a Test of Honor tournament, which if I'd woken up and been like, I can't move, I'd have been like, "Fuck it, I'm not going to it." But look, I was able. By the time I actually recovered consciousness, it was all good. But my alarm went off, and I was like, oh, I'm awake, I guess.
We got to do this.
I think if I was actually a little less sober still, I would have been like, I'm not waking up. I'm just crawling back into bed.
I suspect you are in that golden Venn diagram of still drunk.
Yeah.
Enough.
That could function, yeah.
That you weren't hungover yet, but not, you know, so drunk that you couldn't function. You were in there was a perfect window of opportunity there.
Yes. Needless to say, Mantic Night was a really good fun, and the after party was even more fun. That we good talks, good FaceTime with all the guys, and there's stories to be told and stories that can't be told. So it was fun.
Yeah.
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 We'll
take a break because it's going on. We'll finish up after that. How's that sound?
Okay, we will finish up after this musical interlude.
Back to Coach and Friends, and today I'm joined with Roberto and Jeek.
And welcome back again for our Adepticon wrap-up. We're just kind of giving you the what happened. If you were there, then you know most of it. And yeah. If you weren't, you're probably
nobody
jealous.
Knows all of it because I don't know all of it. Like watching Coach's video of his haul, I'm like, I never saw him. I was with him like 90% of the time. I never saw half the stuff about. I'm like, when did you buy that?
Well, Fabian was the worst. We were waiting for you to wrap up the Test of Honor thing. I said, hey, there's an hour left in the dealer hall. It's closing at 3. Some panic looks spread around the New York crew. Fabian goes, oh, I just got to go in there. You want to go with me? So we went. And he disappeared immediately. He said the Irish goodbye and was gone. It was just a puff of smoke. We didn't see him again until later. He showed up. He had like three big bags of stuff in an hour. He outshopped
all of us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the Test of Honor tournament. It was fun. We played three games, really chaotic. Like the game is pretty random as it was, and the actual scoring of the game was crazy. Like I think Coach ended up winning, but only because he was the only one to actually, out of the three games we played, he's the only one to actually win. He beat me the very first game. All the other games, it was ties, and it was just all about points. And it was good. There's only six of us because there's supposed to be 11, but a lot of people probably had the night before like we did but didn't decide to show up. So I ended up with a nice book, and Coach got the army he wanted, which was great. He almost bought it the day before, and he ended up winning it, so it was cool. And he got a medal for it too, so he ended up coming home with another medal, so that's great. And that was fun, but yeah, a lot of the dealer hall was closing, so a lot of people had to get their last minute shopping in. I bought a few things, I think, even that last day, just because we're in there, and I was like, yeah, might as well buy some stuff.
Yeah, I
got
too.
Some more of the mechs. And, so that was fun, but then it was, well, you want to say a thing before we talk about close, we helped break down and all that?
Not really. I think we covered everything. I know we've forgotten stuff.
Yeah.
But
you can't remember everything. It was a whirlwind event, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then we helped break down. Well, first we almost didn't get in to help break down the Mantic event. They were blocking everybody at the door for some reason this year. And eventually Shane Neural convinced them that, yeah, we're actually their breakdown crew, and they let us in. So we broke down the Mantic booth, and it was good times. It's got to talk to people even during doing that was fun. And at that point, the bigwigs, Martin and Pat and Ronnie, went off to do some – they had some meetings and stuff they had to do with some people. So we ended up going with Coach and the New York crew and Tyler to – what did we do? We went to
– Lou
– oh, yeah. Illuminati, as we like to call it. It was the pizza place, which – it's 45 minutes before you get your pizza and then another 45 minutes before they give you the bill. Just, and then your eating's in between. That doesn't include eating time. So that was fun though. We sat. It was really good pizza. Like it pizza with air quotes. It's not really pizza. It's more like a pie. It was really quite good though. We had like, I think you had three slices, but I had two slices and we're so full. It was good stuff though.
Yeah. It was really good pizza. At this point, like we're all tired though. It's been a long day. We were winding it down. Like it was getting to the point where we just needed to get some food and some dessert.
We do have a great picture of us outside of there that I'll put up because it is a great shot of all of us. And that was a good time at the pizza place. And I think afterwards we were going to go back and record like we did last year, a wrap up, but we were all so beat. We ended up watching Cornhole Championship. It's a thing, I guess, on TSN or not TSN on, what do they call it there? ESPN. On one of the high ESPNs, they were actually playing cornhole professionally. If you don't know what cornhole is, Jack, please describe cornhole.
It's a game where you throw beanbags at a propped up board that's got a hole in it. But this is next level stuff. Like it looked like a skit from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, when I first saw it, they were watching it in Coach's room. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's a joke. And they're like, it's not a joke. So then I went back to our room and I was like, you guys got to see this.
Yeah. So we watched some Cornhole Champions, the championship, and we really just broke off into little groups and kind of said our goodbyes without saying goodbye and kept caught up without really saying, hey, you know, like it was nice. It wasn't I wish we had a few more days beforehand.
Yeah.
But by that time, I was beat.
Yeah, we were all so destroyed, yeah.
We were destroyed. The con crud started to take effect on some people. My throat was, everyone's throats mm-hmm. were.
Yeah, I could barely talk at some points.
Mantic after dark, the Mantic night after dark, there was a lot of loud
laughing. Talking,
laughing. Yeah, so it was, my throat was destroyed. And yeah, we just kind of wound it down.
Yeah, and Coach and his crew had to leave it. I think they wanted to leave at 4, but I think they left at 5. So it was like they were ready for bed. I think it was 11 at that point by the time we finished our meal. And they were going to bed. We said our goodbyes, and then next day we said our goodbyes to Tyler. He got in the scariest Uber ever. The guy couldn't figure out how to get into the hotel, which was scary to think that he was taken into an airport. But and Tyler,
I haven't heard from him since. So maybe he's a. Well, no, I've from since. I was going to set up a whole urban legend about Tyler's demise, like you did about mine.
Yes, but so that Tyler made it home, and then Pat showed up, and we're like, oh, our adventure's over. We're just going to hang out with Pat for a few minutes. Pat takes us to his unofficial hobby shop. It's just this place that just like wall to wall hobby, like all ages, like there's.
Well, we went to lunch first.
Oh, yes, that's true. We went to lunch first.
So Community Pat, he's a stand-up dynamite guy. He's like 100% legit. If you have the pleasure of knowing him, then consider yourself lucky. And he was just like, hey, guys, we didn't get to hang out as much as I'd like. Do you want to just – you got the day off. I got the day off. Let's go get lunch. So we went to a Brazilian steakhouse.
Yeah, like the Brazilian barbecue where they keep coming around to your house or to your house, to your table with the meat.
And we ate.
Well, Jack was like, I can't eat any more meat. So he's just eating like tons of salad.
Well, there was a snack bar there and I went to town. I ate probably $15 worth of asparagus. I don't want to alarm you, but on the train ride home, I went into the washroom and peed and it was a horror show. The stench from my asparagus urine.
We had that lunch, which was really good, and then we went to this hobby shop, which has like everything from any era of hobbying. There's like old role playing games, any of the old miniatures. Like it was crazy. So I was looking around. I was like, there's not much I want to buy. I pointed Jack to some Flock because he'd been looking for Flock and he never bought it at Adeptcon. So Jack was like, how much was that Flock? It was pretty cheap for a huge barrel of it.
Yeah, it was all right. I talked to the guys at, I think it was Elric Games, and I was talking to the guy and I was like, I don't know what I want, blah, 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 blah. He said, you know what? Honestly, it's something you have to kind of get. The way you paint has to do with the base and stuff. All stuff I knew, but I was there to buy, and he was there to talk me down. And he could have just made a sale. He really could have, but he said, you know what? Start with little tufts from Army Painter or something and just kind of get your color and get what you want to do. And so I didn't buy the Flock there, but it was still on my list. So at this game store, it was $10 for a big – you know when you buy your spices? Like you say you're buying like some oregano in a big plastic container. Like that, it's a big container. And I said, okay, well, you know what? Why not? $10 more after what I've spent. Like I made quite a few purchases. This is my last purchase. So why not? $10. So I bought some Flock.
Yes. And then I was looking around. Pat picked up something. I can't hear something small. Like I can't remember what it was. Do you remember what it was?
It was a Mantic miniature.
Oh, that's right. He found one of the Dreadbolt guys who was like really rare. It happened to be there. So he bought that. He bought an actual Mantic miniature from this place. And then I went to the GW area because I was like, I'm curious about the prices. And everything's the same price because GW has matte pricing and they won't let anybody sell anything cheaper than they sell it online. So I went in there and I was just being annoyed by GW. And then they had a huge pile of battle foam bags. And I was looking at them. I was like, oh, that's a good price. It was like the same price we would have paid for one of the cheaper bags. So I walk up to Jack and I'm like, just jokingly, Jack all weekend was like, oh, I need a bag. And he finally didn't buy the bag. So I jokingly said, oh, you need more luggage? I found some for you. So Jack goes over, hums and haws a bit.
I was full of asparagus and Brazilian barbecue, exhausted. And I bought it. I bought another bag. And I think there's no one can argue that it wasn't necessary because my desk is covered with miniatures still. My dining room is – when we packed for Adepticon, we had to tear all of our battle bags apart. Like there's foam and there's miniatures everywhere. There's definitely a need for it. So I did it. And
yeah, I did it.
I did it. So the flock, the $10 flock was not my last purchase. I may be sleeping in the streets once my visa bill comes in, but for right now, I'm proud to have made another purchase to get some foam in here. And yeah.
Yeah, and I felt bad, so I did buy the Arkham Horror LCG just because I've been looking for it, and I felt bad that I forced Jack to buy something, so I bought that. It fit it into my bag somehow. It was a miracle, but I did it. And yeah, after that, we pretty much had no time. We had to get the train at that point, so we jumped on the what is it called, the Metra, down to Chicago Center, like the downtown.
Yes.
Which ended up much easier than I expected. And we got down there, got on the train eventually, after waiting. This time it didn't load as fast as it did last time, so we were waiting in the train in the hall for quite a bit. But we eventually got on the train. Easy ride back. I slept most of the way, luckily. And I think you even got some sleep going back. And that was it. We made it back to Buffalo. And then eventually we got across the border, and it was all easy getting home. And we survived.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. I'm happy with my purchases. I bought what I needed to buy while I was there. Everything I'm telling everyone that I was going to buy, I got. So I can't complain. Plus the swag bag was pretty darn decent this year, so.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So we already said that Guild Ball came in it, and it came with a bunch of miniatures and another War Machine, really nice War Machine book. They always put nice books in there, and quite a bit of stuff. And then the next day, I got an email from Adepticon. I just happened to be checking. I think it was during the Dead Zone tournament, and it said, oh, there's more stuff. Cool Mini or Not stuff was delayed, but it came in. If you have a premium membership or premium badge, come on down to get more stuff. So we got a Dark Age starter, too. Both of us for free, which was really cool. So we got two free games for our badge this year, which was really neat.
And speaking of things that were delayed, do we need to broach a subject about Mantic Knight that perhaps?
Oh yes, we were supposed to get those mules, but
No.
What's? Huh?
Not mules.
Oh, sorry, Hornets. I always mess up names. We're supposed to get those Hornets, but they were delayed from China, and then they were stuck in customs. So eventually they were like, okay, we can't do it. So they gave us $40 credit instead, which was nice. Or they were going to mail it to us. We're like, well, you don't have to mail it to us. We're getting some anyways. So what do we buy with our $40 credit, Jack?
We went in on Dreadball.
Yeah. So we both of us put our money together and we spent a little extra and we got Dreadball starter in the book. So we'll be playing Dreadball. Jack played it and it was for – Jack usually is like, oh, yeah, it was fine. But this time he was like, no, it was really good. So it's like, oh, okay.
I don't know if it was just because Jeff and I were just hanging out and having a good time. Anytime you get to hang out with the Burb. Yeah, I'll get a nickname. Whenever, you know, like he's a decent guy to hang with. And so that was fun. So I'll have to play a few games before I – if it's either just Adepticon High with Jeff or the game's really good, we'll see. We'll see. But that's what we did.
Yes. So we have some Dreadball to play. And what else? I bought some stencils, which is cool for the airbrush. One which you could put Dead Zone squares on any surface. So that's gonna come to use. I also bought another one of my rubber presses. What else? Oh, I bought lots of mechs. That's what my main thing was. I bought a bunch of different mechs. We talked about the War Machine we already bought. What else? You got so? Oh, I got anti-shine.
Yeah. I got pigment. I got more rust from Secret Weapon. And then I bought from Ironheart Artisans some broken toad pigments. They were I bought a darker and a lighter version to go with the Secret Weapon. I know the Secret Weapon's good. I use it. It's the it's my go-to, but I wanted to get some accents. Like I said I was going to buy some, so I did. I went to Reaper and bought two types of silver, like I said I would. And then I splurged on some new dice because my dice failed me that tournament in such a spectacular way that there's no way that they cannot go unpunished. So,
so explain your dice. They're very special.
Yeah. I had a fairy pee on them. So, it's magic. Literally, it was like glitter. So they will hopefully get me through any future endeavors.
You refuse to actually say what they are.
They glow in the dark.
Thank you. Yes, we got some cool dice. You got a good deal on those too. I think you haggled.
I lost one since in transit or not. So I have seven of them. But I got some dice. That was kind of like a last minute thing. I think we were very, reasonable in our purchases, I think.
Yeah, we got so much in our starter. Like when we went in, we're like, oh, we're getting rid of this crazy box that was in our bag and we have all this stuff. We have like tons of room. And by the end, we're like, how do we fill these up? Why is there so much stuff here?
I threw out clothing to make sure I could get get back here.
He did. He's not joking.
No, because, Mantic Knight, they gave away some Dreadball teams and some other stuff, and it just piled up until like the Dark Souls box. I had to take all the miniatures out and throw away all the cardboard.
Dark Age, not Dark Souls.
Yes, excuse me, the Dark Age, and it was a whole production just to get everything into the bags that only days earlier we were like, we're golden.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought, oh, we're fine, we're fine. Oh, God, we're not fine. So we ended up a lost wag, as always, which is good. We can't complain.
Nope.
And, met a lot of great people, as always. Schmoozed. I'm sure you'll see some of the efforts from that on future shows.
Yeah, I think we connected with some of the right people there. I know for a fact now that that Mantic knows who we are.
Yes. Well, especially that's something on when I was saying to Ronnie, he goes, I hope to see you at Manticon. That's going to be happening, hopefully. And I was like, oh yeah, me too. He's like, yeah, I got it. We got to drink some more of that, bourbon. I was like, oh, that's what I'm known for now from Ronnie. I'm his drinking buddy.
Yeah. We'll see what pictures eventually do show up to show what may or may not have occurred, but, yeah, we're in touch. Martin is on top of things, and we may or may not get a bump, through Adepticon, through our contacts here, that will improve the show, and hopefully, whatever improvements happen to the show, we're gonna pass along to you guys. So that's all I'm saying right now. I don't want to speculate or anything like that, but whoever is listening right now. If things come to fruition that were discussed, then we're going to try and pass as much entertainment along to you.
Yes, for sure. I don't know is there anything else to say about DeathCon? I think that covered it pretty good. We had a good long chat about it. Hope we didn't bore anyone.
If we did, just turn us off. Come back later. When I was talking to Daria, she was like, I'm so far behind. I can't keep track. I'm like, you know what? You don't have to listen to every show, and I don't care that you haven't listened. You're a good friend, and that's all that matters. And I talked to her and her wife, and we're not here to bore anyone. Or hopefully this isn't school time. This is just some chums talking. So, you know what? We're just hanging out. Hopefully you're painting and just listening, and maybe a smile will creep across your face every once in a while.
Yeah. And if you get a chance, go to Adepticon because it's fun times. Or the Manticon that's coming up. That'll be another fun times that will be even more intimate, I believe.
Yeah, it was busy.
Yes, Adepticon is, well, it's obviously not just Mantic. It's huge, huge companies doing stuff. So it gets crazy at times. Like, and when I say crazy, I mean crazy. There's so many people doing things.
It got real weird. Some of the games that were going on, some of the antics I was seeing, like, it was like a snuff film at the one point.
I wasn't there for that. Any dead people is on Jack, not me. Please, police. It wasn't me.
You were there when they had a meat grinder, and when you lost, tournament style, you'd bring your best painted miniatures, and they had like this Arena Rex thing going on, and they were fighting. And when you lost, you had to put cut your miniature's head off, put it in the pile, and then put the miniature in a meat grinder and grind up your miniature. And I'm just watching in horror. I'm like, oh my god,
yeah,
it's like a snuff film going on here.
Yeah, that was crazy. Jack's like, you got to come see this.
Yeah, it was, I say with horror, but then I was also like, people have to see this.
Yeah.
I forget who it was that dragged me over there, and I trusted them, but yeah.
Yeah, it was some good times. Okay, next episode, we're going to actually have an episode again in April for regular 83. It'll be in April too, because we do have a lot of news to talk about, so we have to get that out. So it'll be in a couple weeks probably. And like I said, there's already a Hellboy Minute is going to be out. And we're probably going to be we're $1 short, we realize now, of our goal of $50 for our DZTV, the live show. But we're probably still going to do one in April. But if anybody wants to top us up to 50 to make sure, go for it. You can go to patreon.com and search for Dead Zone the Podcast. And hey, if you're listening, chuck a buck. That's all I could say.
Yeah, we're $1 short from doing a monthly kind of video podcast, vlogcast situation. So if you just want to see two people awkwardly trying to stumble through what, a promise that was made, then just throw in a buck and, get some popcorn because it'll happen.
It's going to be a show.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun. And, until then. I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
You've been listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Come back for a regular episode next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Martin. Fashion, t-shirts, mugs. Dead Zone, the podcast.
Hi, this is Ronnie. Get on down and listen to the Dead Zone podcast. It's amazing. Hello, everybody. Hello. Seems like... Oh, yeah. You're going to give me the clap. good. It only seems like 2 years since we were last here doing this. So apologies for my absence last year. So I was going to think of just kicking off with a little bit of what's coming up, what Mantic have got planned, and then we'll go into any questions and answers that anyone has, and we'll try and answer them as best you can. So firstly, thank you all for coming. It's really lovely to kind of cut away from the crowd and come and spend an evening with the fans of Mantic. You know, you're the reason we're here, and it means a lot to us, so thank you very much. I'd like to say, before I forget, thank you to all the Pathfinders. I'm sure we'll give them a big round of applause. They're working all day, running tournaments, events in the stand, and then all evening they're here. And in exchange, we give them a couple of slices of pizza. And
a hearty handshake. A
hearty handshake and lots of sarcasm. So they love the pain. Yeah, Mantic's going to be 10 years old next year. 2019 is our 10-year anniversary, so yeah, I'm going to say that. So, still here, still swinging, and I think if we'd said a few years ago, we were going to be able to fill, you know, 85 people in a room. So yeah, you know, it's just getting interesting. You know, we've got some very big projects coming up, but we're also able to keep supporting the projects that we've got. I mean, the final thing that I'll just say on Kings of War, but it's moving into something else, is we've signed up a book license. And the first book is going to be coming out. When is it coming out, Vince?
June.
Okay. Do you want to tell everyone around it? So Vince runs Winged Hussar, and they're going to be putting our books out. Tell us a little bit about... Tell us about who you are, what you do, and how fantastic our books are going to be.
Well, they are going to be fantastic.
There we go. That's...
Ronnie and I know each other a long time from another company. But I started with Winged Hussar 40 years ago. We're now up to, I guess, about 40 different titles down on the stand. We do history, but we also do a lot of fiction that's tied to the game. And we're very excited about doing the Mantic line. We're going to do not only Kings of War, we're going to do Warpath, we're going to do Dreadbolt, and just about any other game they've got, we'll find something. At the moment, the first book that's coming out is called Warkings. It's coming out in early June, late May. It's going to be an anthology that we've got mostly put together. We've also got two other Kings of War books scheduled and a Dreadbolt book scheduled. Two Warpath, my alter ego stuff. Two Warpath novels. Where the first of the novels, four novels, are coming out in January, and we'll have a regular schedule after that. Probably every 2 months or so, we'll have something. As I said, the first one is an anthology that the war is done. We've got authors signed up to do some novels. At some point, we will solicit an anthology of short stories from whoever wants to submit, but please don't interfere with someone. I'll let you know what it is, and we'll give you a wide window to do with what the submission guidelines are going to be. If you have any questions, I don't want to take away from this, come down and see us in the stand tomorrow. We'll be happy to answer any questions, or if you catch me later, or Brandon later, who's my editor, we'll answer any questions you have.
Thanks, Vince.
Just in case, there will also be ebooks for this. And our distribution is such that it will be available in the US, UK, Australia, Canada, and just about anywhere.
Canada.
Canadians. Great, thank you. So we've got books coming. It's been asked for. We're actually partnered with a proper book company now to sell books, and you'll be able to pick them up from those guys. So sign up on the newsletter, you'll find out about it, and we'll keep you all posted. Obviously, Dreadball's relaunching. We're here at the event. We had 12 people yesterday.
14.
14 people yesterday. A wonderful tournament, and we've got a beautiful website built for it. If you've not seen it, dreadball.com. Not only does it have the host for where all the videos are, tutorials, how to play, how to paint, it also has our own ranking site. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So we decided we were going to do it back end of last year. We had sort of limited resources, but we had a guy that was going to do it. So he started doing it just before Christmas in December. His name's Kieran, so give a big shout out to him. He's been amazing. So what we've done is we've set up a full sort of community website, everything from for beginners, they can learn how to play, then for the more the veterans, like the guys in the middle of the table here, so they can submit tactics, you know, and do articles for us as well. Then we've got Kieran's put together a sheet for TOs to use, so they can submit all their results, and then Jeff can still be top of the table again. Probably for all of 2018, 2019, on and on. But it's also a good community thing. So you can do, within the website, you can chat to each other, arrange games. We can get your local stores signed up. So they can register as a store that plays Dreadball. And then they can advertise their tournaments on there. There's a map, so you can see locality. And then TOs can register as well, and they get extra access to different bits and pieces as well. So, yeah, it's a full one-stop shop for everything that you need. I'm very proud of it. We did it in 3 months. Obviously, we're still testing little bits and pieces, but in the main, it's a fantastic bit of kit. So please go to dreadball.com, register for it, have a look around, and enjoy it.
And the great thing is we've built in a way we're going to be able to reskin it. So Dead Zone, which has proven very popular and is growing rapidly, and is this summer's campaign, by the way. It's going to be an easy stepping on point. You know, Forge Fathers in space, Vermin in space, the Enforcers, the GCPS, the vehicles, including the Hornet, will be available. So we're going to be probably have it reskinned ready for then, and then going forward, you can start seeing: are you the best player in your town, your city, your country, or anywhere in the galaxy? We've been meaning to get into that internet thingy-ma-bob for years. We're getting there now, and Deadpool's the first of what we hope is going to be many forays into that space, and joining up our community, just spread out. Star Saga launched at the end of last year. The second wave of that is going to be shipping in 2 to 3 months, and then some more of it will be hitting retail shelves. Watch out for Nameless, they're going to blow your mind. They are unbelievably sexy. If anyone was clever enough to back it, you're going to be sexy. I mean, tentacles are sexy these days. Maybe you've got a different taste than me. Yeah.
Sexy as a tank.
Yeah, each to their own.
Another bit on Star Saga is going to have the hero and the mission creator as well, so that's out in the summer for those who didn't back the Kickstarter. So, you know, creating your own missions, creating your own heroes, good stuff.
Yeah, good. Any questions on anything sci-fi?
Yeah, so a lot of people got a long time ago the Bursters, the Murder Birds, and then even there's even some, you know, Tangles floating around. The Bursters look really good. I mean, and it's been a long time. I thought maybe they'd be released by now. What's going on?
So we have about 150 codes from Kickstarters that we have not yet released. And this is because the retail cannot cope with the amount of releases that we and every other company have. And with something like Warpath, where we're still just finishing off the end of the tanks, we had the kind of launch of the game with the Forge Files, the Enforcers last year, we added the Third Army. It is building, but we want to kind of get it to a certain critical mass that it is a no-risk item for stores to stock, and then we can put in a complete range. So it's one of those difficult things. If we put it up on our website, then the retailers say, oh my God, everyone's bought it on your website, I don't want it. If we push it out, they just say, well, I can't cope with all of that. What do you want me to do about it? And if we put it on Kickstarter, they say, God damn, you did it on Kickstarter, it's ruining my business. So you can see it's kind of difficult for us. So what we try and do is we say, look, if we do it on Kickstarter, you will be getting this early. Okay, you might get a little bit late, but on the whole, you'll be getting some of it up to 1, 2, 3 years early. You know, we hold it and you say, look, you're getting to run ahead, we'll get those molds made, but then we've got to wait until there's a point. So this summer, we're going to be doing Dead Zone, but we're focusing back in on Warpath at that time. All the tanks are out, it's a nice summer time, so the story is, although it's going to be based around a Dead Zone, it will be sparking off that there will be bigger battles, firefight-type battles and Warpath-type battles, so it's a good time for us to release some more of those codes. But it is also just a challenge for us to put all that stuff out, because it puts the pressure on the retail chain. So we either may do a weekend where we say, listen, everything that was in the Kickstarter is now available to buy online for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We'll run the molds. If you're waiting for those specific codes, come in and get them. Because that way we can run the molds 5, 6, 7 times and put them back into range.
So are you saying that you think possibly by this summer those specific models I mentioned might be out?
I mean, thank you for raising it. For us, we have the molds made. I mean, we've delivered right. The murder birds. We've got it all done there. So it could well be a case that we pop them up and run them for a big long weekend in the conscription period so that people that are waiting to pick things up can jump on. And if that works, it's something we could do, you know, intermittently.
Well, we'll let you know ahead of time whatever's going on. So
The newsletters will do, but it's one of the challenges we have. It's we can't put so much out through retail that it breaks them. But similarly, if we kind of release it, it's released. So then when you come to sell it to trade, they say, well, it's built on your website for you. So we understand it's a frustration. Is that all things Warpath? Cool. So, yeah, it's growing. We had how many people? More, so well, come to the stand or catch us afterwards.
Okay, so with Star Saga, I was wondering if you could kind of give us an idea of how the mission builder, like what kind of parameters the mission builder is going to set and what kind of parameters building your own hero is going to set. Like, will there be a list of feats you choose from? Will there be, like, you get so many points to build stats? How did you guys do that?
I don't know that one.
Where's Stuart?
Yeah.
That's the studio guy.
Ping me an email, and we'll get out to that back. Because to be honest, they've written that, and my head's not in that space right now. Mine's
and I'll just
somewhere more.
It,
so. Yeah. Someone's a bit more hellish than that right now is what I'm thinking about. So I don't have that detail for you.
I have one more.
Go on. Then.
For Kings of War, they get like yearly updates of, you know, maybe adding new models to the list. Can we expect some of that maybe in sci-fi like Dead Zone?
So this summer campaign book, who's, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Ian Shane. Well, we had Shane and I are on the rules committee, and we've been working on the new book. So like Kings of War, we're going to do an update every year. So the rules committee, we're committed to making Dead Zone better. We can only speak for Dead Zone. Right. So this coming this summer, with the book, it's not a secret, but you're going to have the Nameless and the Maison Corporation in it, which is basically taking Star Saga and putting it into Dead Zone. So you'll have the rules, you'll have all the updated FAQs, all the Nexus side, the infestation, everything's going to be in one place, one book, so you don't have to carry around the four books, and that's... You know, although the releases are nice, you know, when you put out Infestation, when you put out Nexus Psi, and there's a few new models, the Bursters, the Murder Birds, this is going to be summer campaign, new rules, updated rules, FAQ, everything. And then from there, when that comes out, we'll start working on the one for next year. So every summer, I can't wait, because New York is going to kick everybody's butt.
Yeah, right.
So, there you go. But that's it. So following that model, Dead Zone, you know, 2018 is the year of Dead Zone. That's what I keep saying. And then when 19 hits, we'll say the same thing.
Yeah. And I think the Dead Zone, they're doing the rules committee bit, but we'll put some Warpath and Firefight stuff in there as well. It will be a sci-fi book.
All the characters from Warpath will have elite lists in the new book. So basically, everything you do in Warpath will transfer to Dead Zone can transfer to Warpath. And that's the greatest thing. That's the thing we love.
Yeah, and your models are the same as choices. Yes, sir.
I don't know if it was a fever dream, but I heard a rumor that Assyrians are going to get a flyer.
Yeah. It's not like a dream. It's in tooling. It's going to arrive in our factory in the next few weeks. Yeah. It's nearly finished. It looks beautiful. If you've not seen it, there's some pictures of it. We should have brought one, I guess. it looks great. We're remaking the flying base. It actually takes the stand in its exhaust so that it kind of hovers. It's not on a vertical base like most flyers are. The thingy grips it and it slips into the back like that. So it's actually this kind of height. Yeah, and it's floating. It looks very cool. So it's waterproof. So and that was the final piece. There is the Asterion, the Hornet, and that's the last one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So then every race. I always said with the sci-fi game, if it doesn't have a vehicle, it's not really a sci-fi army. And so when we did the Kickstarter, every single army got a flyer. And then the player got some conversions off that. But it's not a sci-fi game without vehicles. So all the forces that we did not only got basic troops, but got vehicles. And because we've got our resin, We can now do weapon options, weapon variants for them. You know, we can do the Hornet flying in with a half track underneath it. And I think that whole hobby angle that people want to take with the airbrush and really start going to town, all of that can come to the fore. And, you know, you can get conversions out in your tanks, different weapon options, and there's a whole heap of stuff that we can do. So I think there can be a lot of fun there. And I know, particularly in the US, you know, bows and arrows are all well and good, but, you know, if you can put a great big cannon on it with a whole load of explosions, it's going to sell a hell of a lot better. So, you know, we do believe that the cleanliness of the game, the speed of the game, both Dead Zone, Firefight and Warpath, over time will build a very, very cult following. Because like Kings of War, it's clean, it plays in 2 hours from beginning to end. You absolutely interact with the terrain. You know, you go into the buildings. It is a far more life realistic, you know, kind of based on modern warfare style of game. So I think when people start picking it up and it starts to grow, it could go crazy. All right, you're going to go again. I'm going to go with two more things to talk about. But go on, do questions as we go.
Since tomorrow's my birthday, as a gift, can you tell us something about Dead Zone nobody has heard about at all?
Just told you, two new armies coming. I mean. Well, that's old news now. That's fake news. Want to know about Dead Zone?
I think we've been really honest. Yeah. I think we've been straight up, yeah, and that's
you told
me.
There's anything else to say?
You've got. I mean, is there anything else? Got anything else to say?
Shano?
Yeah. There's your birthday.
You're saying Maison Corporation is different than GCPS?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
You learn all about it in the book.
Yeah. Then I've done Dead Zone Summer, so the only thing I have left to talk about is, and jolly exciting, drum roll please. In September of this year, on the dates of roughly 28th, 29th and 30th of September, Mantic is coming to the USA. We are going to be... The first hosted by Manticon. It's the first hosted by us. I think John Carter's done a few of them before. Matt Carter's done a few of them before, but this is the first genuine one. It's going to be based around a big Kings of War tournament. We're going to have the Kings of War tournament on the Saturday and Sunday, but we're going to kind of take the place over from Friday afternoon. We're going to, like we did here, have some events on the Friday, some Dreadball Dead Zone tournaments, whatever we want to do, hang around. We're going to have a Mantic night there. It's going to be Mantic night on the Saturday night, and then tournaments throughout. We'll be there hosting, playing, gaming, having fun. The winner of the Kings of War tournament will be recognised as the best Kings of War player in the United States of America. Okay. We'll call him that he's won the World Series, but he will have to then go and fight someone from Europe. And we are going to fly the winner the following year over to the UK to play the European winner at Clash of Kings 2019. And we'll be looking at doing the same to get those buyers over to the US. So, yeah, we're going to try and get...
Yeah. It's got to stay for an entire year, though. You just start swimming.
You get the one-way ticket. One way if you win. If you win when you're over there, we fly you back. Exactly.
Go back for all the Chinese shipping crates.
You get caught at customs, though.
So yeah, we've done it. We've done it 6 months away from Adepticon, so if you're kind of not getting con fatigue. It's it's late September, so it's a couple of months after Gen Con as well, so you can have recovered from that if you're doing that one. It'll be quite a different kind of event. It's going to be very relaxed. There'll be no other traders there. It's not intended to turn into a 20,000 people event next year, maybe the year after, but not before that. Based around gaming, hanging around, drinking some beers, playing games. You know, it's going to be quite a relaxed event, but I'd love to see you all there.
Where's it going to be at?
It is going to be at
the Crown Plaza in Rosemont, right on River Road. So close to the Blue Line, close to the airport, close to the outlet malls if you want to bring your significant other.
That's right. Got an airport shuttle so people can fly in. You know, we're looking for this to be as convenient as possible to as much of the US as possible. Suppose a few Canadians if we have to, but I mean, only just. So it's set up for that. And, you know, this area, Chicago, running down to Indy, because we've been coming to those two shows for a long time, is our strongest community in the US. It's stronger than the West or the East Coast. So, you know, we're really hoping we can start building and then building out with all the exciting things we've got going on. Yeah, so we hope to see you there.
Yeah, we'll start talking about it properly on through Rob and the internet, and then tickets are gone. So,
and yeah, in the next few weeks, we just wanted to announce it here so that all of you people know about it, can start spreading the word, and the idea of really getting some intercontinental rivalry going. The bigger the other systems are, the more we'll be able to help out with that. We're just hoping that the Kings of War will come in straight at, you know, 80 to 100 people, which would be awesome. But when the others get there, that'll be good too. So, we're on to something else. Good. I think one that question. Is about done, and we'll do questions, and then we'll go into the secret room.
Do you have any information about that new Kickstarter?
Kickstarter, new game.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, so well, yeah, Hellboy's coming. In case you missed it.
How about here? Can we? How big's Dead Zone got to get before you'll do the same thing that you're going to do for Kings of War?
50 plus?
50 plus in a tournament at the
Manticon.
And if you get 50 with them, going to go 550 the play over in Europe. But I honestly think the big opportunity to see where Dead Zone kicks is this summer. You know, we're going to have the website, we're going to have a big, big focus on Warpath of the Universe and everything that it is. And you know, it's so easy to get into, and you know, fighting one of those gangs, building one of those, you know, war bands is relatively straightforward. So, but yeah, it needs to be something like that, because what we do is we'll take a little contribution from each ticket and throw it towards the flight costs. So,
are you planning for like demos and stuff over some of the other games?
Right. Oh yeah, I mean, just so we're taking over a room nearly the size of what's that one next door?
Utopia,
the whole lot of it. So we've got a massive square footage. We've got the hotel all to ourselves. We're going to be running, Dreadball, Dead Zone demos, Walking Dead demos. We'll be walking as many people want to come to the Walking Dead event. We'll host it. We'll have that big mass battle from Kings of War there. Yeah, it's going to be great fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have some random games. Okay, so yeah, the final thing to finish on is Hellboy is coming. We've got the license for Hellboy. We're very, very, very excited. Yeah, if I was going to recommend you jump on a Kickstarter, don't miss this one. The box is going to come as a beautiful, very fun box. Some of the things that's making it exciting, it's of a style, it's a board game kind of in the dungeon saga where you're achieving missions and fighting minions. But the big difference is it's got an investigation phase where you're actually looking for artifacts and equipment. The more of those you find, the more likely you are to defeat the boss at the end of the level. However, it takes time to find those, and the slower you are, the more likely the boss is to turn up and be your head in before you're ready for him. So you're going to have a tension between rushing through the dungeon, getting to the end boss before he gets super tough, but neither are you, or finding enough equipment that you're able to deal with him, but not so much that you get knocked out and then wake up and suddenly the baddie's there. We've got some very beautiful sculpts, which we can show some of them to you next door. And I think that's going to start running late April. Some of the fun parts, you're going to kind of get a mission pack. You will not know what monster you're fighting at the end of the level until you meet it. So it's going to be a reveal as you go. It's a fully co-op game. As you go into the rooms, you'll find random things. And then we'll run you through some scenarios that are all set up for you. And then you can use that deck to generate your own missions randomly from there on with setups, where you can just put the stuff down in a random fashion. So those of you who want to know more and see more on those two projects, they're next door. It's all right, because we're doing.
All right, so is that one going to use a DM, or is that one going to be?
No, it's co-op. So you're all playing together against the minions, which in the first couple of levels are going to be the giant frogs, hectate, and Nazis, with all of the you'd expect from. So we're roughly running through the graphic novels. We're going to be doing graphic novel 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Kickstarter. And then Hellboy in Mexico might be making an appearance, depending on how big it goes. Plus, some of the other fun stuff will be coming out. You'll have a big deck of Doom with random monsters. So once you've played it through, you can start adding new monsters into your deck of Doom, which will be included in the Kickstarter. And we tend it to be like the Walking Dead one, where you get a big box with the whole lot laid out, really nicely done, big piles of cards. So you're going to get a kind of full experience when you jump in there. Let's play some games, shall we? All right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Cool.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.